in the area, Nakuru, where we're going to. And we would love, they need a new floor. And we would love to be able to pay for them to have the floor done. We're not going to do that. If you know anything about me, I can't hang a picture. So me doing DIY is just not going to happen. I can paint and that's about it. And so, but what we're going to do is we're going to, the most beneficial thing is get a local person, pay for them to come in and do the floor. Then it gives them work and then it gets the job done and that's the plan. So we're aiming to raise £5,000. And you're thinking, well, John, why are you telling us this at the beginning of August and you're going like the third week in September? Well, because that's just the way that it has transpired in our communication with Bishop Meshach and the other guys that we have communicated with when we're there. Am I worried about raising the money? Not even remotely. Not at all. And somebody much more famous than me said before that for the God I believe in is not short of cash. We know that God's got big sleeves. And regularly he's pulling stuff out of those big sleeves. And so we believe that he can provide for that. And so, but we don't expect people just to give for no reason. And therefore, we want to show our commitment. And in my severe state of unfitness, I commit to cycling around Lower Loch Erne with some of the guys from here who are infinitely more fitter than I am. And so that's what we're going to do. So if you would like to give to that, we will have some stuff coming up. It'll be on our website. We'll stick it on the Facebook page. It'll be on Twitter. We'll have it up on here in the next few weeks. If you would like to give, would be great. So we'll move on. Just recently, we had a wee series that we looked at called How Much? And in that series, we were talking about the cost of discipleship. Now, let me just, one of the things that regularly I say is that we know that obedience isn't easy, don't we? Does anybody find it easy? Like, I don't. And one of the other things that really, really difficult and that really, really plays on us is commitment, isn't it? Commitment's hard. It's a challenge. And commitment's even harder if you've got kids. And I'll tell you why. Kids are lovely and we all adore them and the whole thing. Most of us do. And so, but here's the thing. When you've got kids, you've got football, you've got dancing, you've got Cubs, Scouts, BB, Girls Guide, Girls Brigade, the whole thing. And you're like, oh, when am I going to fit everything else in? And things become a challenge. Things become difficult. And it's really, really difficult to commit to something. A friend of mine said this. Now, we don't have membership in our church here. Apart from that, this is a great quote. He says, attend faithfully, read scripture regularly, engage in community, give generously, and serve wholeheartedly are great membership requirements. Membership for us in the Lakes Vineyard Church is that you come. That you come on a Sunday, that you attend a small group when they're not on break. And ideally, we would love it if you could give, but we're not going to get too prickly about everything. We would love it if you would give. And so I wanted us to look at this morning, commitment. And a wee interesting, hopefully slightly humorous twist on the Ten Commandments. But before we go any further, will we pray? Father, thank you so much for your presence. We can do nothing without your presence, and we ask that you would continue to be with us through this day and this week, this month, this year. And would you use us? Would you show us how you want to use us? and then help us to commit to that, what it is that you want us to do. I ask that you would speak to us as individuals, but also collectively. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would reveal to us in our personal lives that what commitment means. And I ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen. So attend faithfully, read scripture regularly, engage in community, give generously, and serve wholeheartedly. And one of the things that we do, and what we've always done, and the reason why we're here, is to serve our community. And we have committed to serving our community. I don't know about you, but I find that it's a huge amount of fun. And we were, on Friday, I was chatting with Paul and Gloria. We were here for Food Bank. And Paul has this great, well, he has this great relationship with just about everybody that he gets the opportunity to talk to. But he has a good relationship with the parking attendants. Well, do you know, I think there's a wee bit of a plan in there. But anyway, so he was chatting with one of those guys, and one of the things we did a few weeks ago at the Diamond, and it kind of seemed a bit weird, and you're like thinking in your head, okay, this is what we want to do, but how's this going to work? How's this going to look? It could look a bit weird. And so we were at the Diamond, which is the square in the town, and we decided that we would do a giveaway, and it always helps when you're the one of the community police comes. And we had t-shirts on saying free hugs. Brian turns up in his uniform, doesn't he have a free hug t-shirt, but he was hugging more people than we were, do you know? So, but we were giving away free hugs, we were giving away chocolate, Lindt chocolate, and then had this kind of strange kind of notion that we would give away boxes of Rice Krispies. I'm talking like the big ones. I'm not talking the wee ones that you can hide them in your pocket. Like, do you know the big 750-gram boxes that, do you know, has Rice Krispies emblazoned at like that size, do you know? So we had 70 of them. And we just did, and we were giving these away. And I was like, you're in the town centre, do you know, and you're giving away boxes of Rice Krispies. How's this going to work? This is going to look a bit unusual. And I think it did look a bit unusual, it looked a bit different. But we heard back just on Friday that the one of the parking attendants saying, never known a church like it. The whole place is talking about you in a good way. And I thought, he says, they're talking about the church that gives stuff away. But we need to be giving away more than just Rice Krispies, don't we? We need to be giving away more than Lindt chocolate. Lindt chocolate's nice, and people like you when you give them that kind of thing, but we need to be giving away more than that, don't we? And we need to be giving them in Jesus. And so, I just kind of think that, you know, one of the things for me that I felt that God was speaking to me about, that highlighting, so we did the how much counting the cost thing. And then I was like, well, so we've counted the cost, but how much commitment then does that take? And then this is going to sound really heavy, and I don't mean it to sound heavy, but this is the kind of the Bible verse that came up for me. And it's Revelation 3, 16 and 17, and it says, I know your works, you're neither hot nor cold. Would you either cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And here's what God's looking for. He's looking for people that are passionate. People that are excited. And they're going to put a bit of oomph into this. And so he doesn't want us to be, you know, you can be hot or you can be cold, and that's the preference. But see this uncomfortable, painful position of sitting in the fence? He's kind of like, no. You have to be one way or the other, but don't try and straddle the fence. And I felt that that's what the Lord was highlighting for me this week. And so how do we know where we stand? If you're standing and you've got a fence in the middle, you know where you stand because it's sore. It's uncomfortable. But there's a whole lot of people, and I'm not having a go at anybody here, but I'm looking at Christianity as a whole, and especially in Northern Ireland. We were, and do you know, you know my stance on homosexuality and the whole thing, and I don't think it's right that we judge people who proclaim that they're gay or they are gay. And one of the things that we need to do is show love. Jesus came, he showed love, and we need to show love to everybody, embrace everybody. But we were in Belfast yesterday, and it was the Gay Pride Parade was on. You have never seen so many people supporting a cause. And here's what my thoughts are on that. A lot of it, Northern Ireland has traditionally been seen as a religious country. Let's put it like that. And people are no overly keen on religion. And I just felt that yesterday there was a whole lot of people there. I think it's a good thing to stand up for people's rights. But there was a whole lot of rebellion in that. And people are quick to rebel against something. They just want to have a cause to fight. Man, we have a great cause. And we just wrap it up in this boring, horrible thing called religion. And if we could just take them shackles off and portray Christianity for what it really is, freedom, then I think we might see a difference. And so we saw people yesterday, and do you know what? It is colourful. Do you know, there was a lot of people with smiles on their faces, and they seemed to be happy. And I'm never, ever going to speak it against that. But I think a lot of that has came out of rebellion. Because the way that the church has been for so long in Northern Ireland, they're like, well, we just want to be completely anti-church. Do you know what I mean? And so, how do we know where we stand? People claiming that they know Christ, but aren't they really that serious about him? Adhere to some central truths. And you can call them commands, if you will. But they are ideas that shape decisions. And so, what I thought is, we would do, you can't really see that. It does say there the Ten Commandments of Uncommitment. And so what I thought we would look at is the Ten Commandments of Uncommitted. And you could put Christians at the end, or people who profess to know Jesus. And so we know, here's hoping this works. Oh, wonderful. Love God, love your neighbours if they look and talk like you. Because in reality and in practicality, that's what most people do, even Christians. And we looked in the last couple of weeks at what does it mean to love your neighbour as yourself? Does it mean the person that lives closest to you, next door, up the stairs, downstairs, to the left, or whatever? Or does it just mean love everybody that you come into contact with? And that's what it means. But so often, and it, unfortunately, especially in the church, love God, love your neighbours, if they look and talk like you. And Jesus specifically addressed that, didn't he? When he said, do you know, what benefit is it to you? Do you know, because other people love people that are the same as them. We're called to be something different. We're called to love everybody, not just the people that look like and talk like the same as what we do. And it is important to love God, but it's also important to love other people. And anybody who even doesn't look like us. Because that's what we're called to do. But we don't want to do it just because that's what we're called to do. I want us to be able to, I want us to want to do that. Because that's what we're called today. That's who we are called to be. We're called to be different. Then the next commandment. Follow Jesus. That's great. Until it costs you something. And how many times have we seen that? I remember at the time when I gave my life to Jesus, and in our street, there was, in the space of 6 to 9 months, at least 90 people gave their life to Jesus. Like radical conversions. We were all part of different gangs in the area, and we all gave our life to Jesus at the same time. And we were all proclaiming, oh man, this is awesome. We're going to follow Jesus. Then it started to cost. Because then the lifestyle that we were leading had to change. And that's when it started to cost. I love following Jesus, and being a Christian is really important to me. But the mindset after that says, but Jesus would never ask me to give up something. He'd never call me to go somewhere I don't want to go. Overseas? Not a chance. Give up my free time? Don't think so. I know Jesus. He wouldn't do that. And if somebody was saying that to me, I would say, sorry, would you know Jesus? He wouldn't ask you to do that. And I'd have to call that into question. So many people say, do you know what? I follow Jesus. And they're willing to follow him until it costs you something. Then the third commandment. Never use words like radical and sacrifice. And people with this mindset say, oh, I love reading about the life of Jesus. I love reading about him. Wasn't Jesus amazing? The way he talked to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the way he spent time with tax collectors and prostitutes. Then how he went to the cross. He was bold. He was courageous. Inclusive. Loving. What a great story. What a great guy. He'd never asked me to live like that. I'm like, oh no. And so much of the world sees it like that. And sees things that way. And they say things like this. Oh, you see all those people that are being killed by terrorist groups because of their faith in Jesus? Why did he not just denounce their faith in Jesus and save their life? You can always go back to Jesus later. I think he'd understand. And I'm like, no. No. And that is the attitude of so many today. And I'm just like, you know, they're saying words like radical, sacrifice. Oh, it just makes me cringe. I want to be a Christian and I love Jesus, but I view Christianity more of a status than a sacrifice. When you give your life to Jesus, he asks you to give him everything. Because the reality is, when you try to do it yourself, you stuffed it. And he wants to take you through. And he wants to do it with you. Not for you, but with you. And when you do that, you start to see the change. And do you know what? That is quite radical. It is incredibly sacrificial. But people are afraid of the commitment. What's the next one? Heaven is good. Life on earth's better. Because people are so focused on living for the moment. They're so focused on living now. They're so focused on seeking after pleasure. You know, that whole hedonistic lifestyle. Oh, what can I get out of life? What can I get? What can I get? And that's so much what it's about. I want to go to heaven. It'll be a great place. be wonderful. But I don't want to go now. I want to live my life first. Life's awesome. I'm in college. I have a wife. Or I want a wife. I'm married. I have a child. I want to live my life with them. I don't want God to rob me of the best years of my life. And that's just the wrong way to look at this whole way of living. It's like having fun. Do you know whenever you see like Christians having fun and you're just like, man, we don't need anything else to get us happy. We don't need to be taking stuff because the joy just comes from in here. And I'm like, man, you're just completely missing the whole thing. I don't want God to rob me the best years of my life. I want God to have the best years of my life. I want him to utilize the best years in my life. And I want to have fun with him while I'm doing it. I kind of have to say I enjoy life. And I enjoy life as a Christian a whole lot more than I did before. I can remember what I did yesterday. That was a challenge in the past. Because Jesus has transformed my life. And I'm hoping there is a while yet before I have to go to heaven. I look forward to being there. But I want it to be quite some time away. Because I know that the Lord has got a plan for me here. But he has that for you as well. Then the next one, which is a big one. Don't pursue obedience. Nobody should tell you how to live. Man, obedience is hard. It's really hard. It's really difficult. But we are so caught up in this thing. Who do they think they are to tell me what to do? And that's kind of the way culture is at the minute, isn't it? And we need to be readdressing. We need to... But it's not about living to please ourselves, is it? The next commandment. Read the Bible and pray if you have extra time. You know, you hear Stephen Furtick's great on this when people come to him and they say, yeah, reading the Bible's boring. He says, no, you're boring. Read the Bible. It's great. If you're going to start reading the Bible, don't start reading Leviticus or First Chronicles. The first 11 chapters is just genealogies. That's going to bore anybody. Start at the Gospel of Matthew or Luke and start reading stories about Jesus. Read about the kind of things he did, what he got up to. Read the book of Acts. It's called Acts for a reason. And the disciples and the first early believers and the types of things they did. And you're like, and there is not a chance you're going to read that and think, this Christian lark seems boring. Read the Gospel of Mark. My first pastor told me that it was the James Bond Gospel. It's so fast. As soon as you get in, it's just like action from the first chapter. Like, it's so fast moving. It's like they should make a movie. Just like, whoa. Do you know, it's like being on a roller coaster, and if you have hair, it's all blown back, and you're like, ah! Do you know, read the Gospel of Mark. It's exciting. It's fun. And if that doesn't get the juices flowing, do you know, like, we can chat, and we can pray. Read the Bible and pray. But people say, I talk to God, but he doesn't talk back. Do you listen? Do you give him time? When do you, how long? And he does want to have a relationship with us. Yeah, I want to talk to God, but prayer's hard. He never talks back. God already knows everything. Why does he need me then to tell him what I need? Because he wants to have a relationship with you. And people fail to recognize that's what this Christian life's about. It's about relationship with Christ. And it can be fun. The ninth commandment, pursue riches and fame. God wants you to have the best. And I believe that the Lord does want you to have the best. But he will provide you with that which is the best. He will bring that. And when the best in his eyes is not necessarily the best in your eyes. So what's the best in our eyes? And we have kind of done this before. But when you're looking, you're like, oh, I'd like a telly like that in the living room. Now, I really would like a telly like that in the living room. Because I like watching football. And it's as close to kind of being there as it gets, because it's big and it's... Oh. But anyway, that gets leads to coveting, and I don't want to covet the church's TV. But, so, that's how the world sees it. It's like, big telly. The bigger the telly, the more successful you are. The bigger the car you have, the more successful you are. The bigger the house you have, the more success. Is that right? Is that always the way that God wants to bless you? Can God not just bless you in other ways? Can he not bless you? Can you imagine no having to strive for a telly that's a couple of inches bigger than the one you have? Or no having to pursue a car that's got a 3-litre engine rather than 1.6? Or no pursuing an extra bedroom? Can you imagine pursuing what it is that he has for your life? Because when you realize truly what God has for your life and what he has planned for your life, you never ever need to be jealous of anybody else. And so often we use that scripture, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future. And we use it. And so often we use it out of context. But do you know what? God does have a plan for your life. And the riches and the good things that he has for you might not be the riches and the good things that you have planned for you. But the things that he has planned for you are things that are going to shape you for the rest of your life. That is going to lead to contentment. That is going to lead to having just a better life. Where you're no pursuing stuff. Where you're pursuing him. Where you have fullness of life. Fullness of relationship with him. And then the 10th commandment of the uncommitted life. Don't share Jesus with other people. The mission's not important. You don't have to do that. That's the pastor's job. That's what he gets paid for. You know how many people think that? You look at churches in this country especially. Everything's the pastor's job or the minister's job. He's the minister. And if you look at the traditional church, there are ministers burning it every week, the length and breadth of the country, because they feel that it's their job to do everything. And they're expected to go and visit everybody. So say you have a church of 300 roughly, and they did the whole thing where they go and visit. You're looking at, if they go and visited somebody every day, which isn't realistic, but just think it like that. You're looking at, you would get one visit a year. You'd be like, he's a horrible minister. Fire him. Let's join Kirk Session and let's get him out. Or vestry or whatever tradition you're part of. He only comes and visits us once a year. But if he's working his way around the whole congregation and there's that many people in it, I mean, how is he meant to do otherwise? That's his job. But it's not his job, is it? Because the Great Commission was for everybody. Go. Doesn't he say in brackets, even in the Amplified version, it doesn't say go, especially if you're the pastor. Go. We've ought to go. That doesn't mean that you have an international ministry like Billy Graham. You might have, you might not have. But that could mean your neighbour, who you've to love as yourself, even though they don't speak the same way as you. You can tell them. Hey, did you know I'm a Christian? I really love Jesus, but we're doing this thing in a couple of weeks. I'd love it if you'd come with it. I want you to consider this as an invitation. I think you'll be surprised when you come. We're not a bunch of boring farts. We're kind of contemporary. We don't wear our Sunday best to church. We just kind of like normal people. But you know, we love Jesus. Do you fancy coming? Tea and coffee and buns and everything is great. Like, really? Oh, yeah, and there's a big telly and everything. Just mislead them, do you know? Like, oh, yeah, we've got two tellies. It's great, do you know? But people, when they come to church, they expect something different because there is a mindset, especially in this country, that tells people and it puts it in a box, church is like this. You probably noticed our shutters aren't bent and warped. And the reason for that is people aren't beating down the door to try and get in. It'd be great if they were, although the bill would be high. And so, but here's the thing. What we then need to do is follow what Jesus told us to do, be the church, but make it no look like church. And if people aren't coming to church, then we take church to them. And that's why we give away Rice Krispies at the Diamond. Because that is church, but it doesn't look like church. And we have to be church to the people. We need to be Jesus to people. Sharing Jesus with other people is awkward. You might lose friends over it. You look vulnerable, might look funny, especially if you have a Free Hugs t-shirt on. And a lot of people tell you, it's never really worked for me sharing my faith. We're not saying you have to be an evangelist. What we're saying is, do you know, you went to the length to invite Jesus into your life. You made that commitment to invite him into your life. He thinks you're stunning. He looks at you and he's like, oh, there they are again. He has this wee conversation among the Trinity, do you know? Ah, look. Would you just look at their lovely, lovely face? We made that, you know. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of, this is a parody, just in case you're like, what book of the Bible is that in? And so, but he thinks you're great. He loves you. He doesn't want to put an unrealistic expectation on you. He just wants to have a relationship with you. Have a friendship with you. He wants to call you friend. And he wants to show his love to you. But one of the things that when you have a relationship with somebody, they usually want you to show it back. And so here's my challenge. Commit. Now, your circumstances might dictate, but John, that's an unrealistic expectation for me. I cannot commit to being here every single Sunday. That's all right. If you work two of those Sundays, then commit to come the other ones. Ah, but I do shift work. That's all right. Commit to what it is that you can commit to. Don't commit to something you can't commit to. And then if you can do better, then It's just a win-win situation. Attend faithfully when you can. We're not saying give up everything else in your life. You need to stop that. That's no a God. We're not saying that. Commit how you can commit. Read your Bible. But here's the wee caveat that I'm going to put in. Do what it says. Engage in community. Give generously. And serve wholeheartedly. We want you to serve. And that's the whole point of what we do here. We want people to serve. And we might have people here who are in different positions of leadership. But every single person that serves in any form of leadership in this church gets the whole point that leadership in this church is servant leadership. We don't have this triangle where they're at the pinnacle and they look down on everybody else. We invert that triangle and they're at the bottom and they're looking up at everybody. We serve those people who we are designated to lead. At no point are we autocrats, despots, anything like that. We're here to serve. And I would encourage you to serve. If that means serving your neighbour, serving your street, your community, whatever that is, I would encourage you to do that. Attend faithfully. Read your Bible. Do what it says. Give and serve. And if you do that, come and hang about with me and I'll get some tips. Nobody's saying this is easy. But nobody says that living the Christian life was going to be easy. It brings a whole set of challenges that you didn't have before. But these are beneficial. They're good and they will hold you in good stead for the future. Every single one of us can be challenged in the area of commitment. There's not a person in this room who wouldn't be. And so I don't want you to think that I'm in your face. Although I am. I'm speaking to myself and everybody else. Can we up our commitment? Can we increase that? And I'm not saying can you increase your commitment to the Lakes Vineyard Church? Can you up your commitment to Christ? Can you up your commitment as a believer? And if you do that, then it probably, if you call this church home, is probably going to be reflected in what happens here. And that we'd love that. But we don't want to put unrealistic expectations. We're not beating you up. We're not cracking the whip and saying, you filthy sinner. You do nothing and we don't like you. We love you. And we think you're great. But Jim Collins said the great thing. He says that good is the enemy of great. You were called for great things, not just good things. And the difference between good and great is massive. And I want you to be great. Do you want to stand? Lord, we love you. And we want to present ourselves to you as willing, as committed. And we want to honour you as you honour us. And without stretching this any further than it needs to be, I think there are some people here, and do you know, you've been really, really hurt by the church in the past. The way they've spoken to you, harshly, even false accusations, the way they've treated you. And I just need you to know that that's no other Lord. That is no God's plan for your life. But here's the reality of what that is. Some people made a pretty bad mistake. And here's my encouragement that you need to forgive them. The Lord is calling you this morning to extend forgiveness to that person, those persons, that church, that organization. Let it go. And the stark reality is that if you don't forgive other people their sin, God won't forgive you yours. I know that sounds harsh, but it's right. And you need to forgive them now so that you can move on. You were hurt in the past and we acknowledge that. But the only person that is hurting now is you because you've no let go of what happened then. It's no affecting them anymore. And it's like resentment. And resentment's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. So Father, I just, in the name of Jesus, I speak freedom now from resentment, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, and I speak freedom in that area right now in the name of Jesus. I speak release to you right now in Jesus' name. And the Lord challenges you now where you are. Privately, I'm not asking you to shout it out, but to extend forgiveness once and for all to that person, those persons, or the organization or the church that has hurt you. And when you do, then you can move on. Because God does have a plan for your life. And his plans are not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And that hope and future are wrapped up in your forgiving the other persons. And as you forgive, you can begin to move on the journey that you were on then. And you're the one who has brought that to a halt. I would encourage you to forgive and let go. If you would like prayer for that, we'd love the opportunity to pray for you. Also, if you are sick, if you're in pain, you have any condition that you want rid of, we would love the opportunity to pray for you for that as well. And so if you are sick or unwell or in pain or any of those things, and the former thing about, you know, the unforgiveness, I'm going to ask you to remain standing.